Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow subscribe button, give us a like, as that helps us to continue bringing the content that we feel so very blessed to be able to deliver to you guys. Well, today, we've got a brand new guest on the show, and I'm going to tell you right now, this guy has been in ministry for well over 30 years, and he's been a missionary, and he's worked in 70 different countries, over 70 countries. And so you guys are in for a special treat because you know I've had a few missionaries on the show, and you know how good those conversations have went, and you know my plug on discipleship with my background. You guys know that with a crew that I did back when I was in college and some of the other ministries. So you know me and missionaries, we get along great, and I love having them on the show. So anyway, without further ado, Jeff Stewart, welcome to the show.
Thank you, T.S. I really appreciate you having me. It was nice meeting you at the NRB there a couple of weeks ago, and I appreciate you keeping your word.
Amen.
That's the prize to find, even in ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
But so I appreciate the invite, this opportunity to get to know you a little bit better and understand more of what you do. And your desire to, you know, get the gospel out and help others along the way. It's all about impacting lives for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, we all need help, and we all need to help each other.
Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I need all the help I can get. I certainly cannot do it by myself, as I have learned the hard way through my years of coaching. Sometimes being a one-man wrecking crew, and realized that I needed to learn how to let people in. That was a thing that I really had to let God work on me to do, and to start trusting other people,
right,
to be able to step up and do the work as much as me. So, and then trusting them to do it. And that was something I struggled with for a while, but I've grown out of that, and I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I've started to let other people in and do the job as well. So, and, you know, and embrace when it's not done exactly the way you want it to be done, and be okay with that, you know, just learning to be content.
Right.
And I think that's such a big part of that. So, but anyway, Jeff, I tell you what we want to do. We want to get your story out there because I think the audience needs to hear this. And obviously it's connected to your book. And at the end here, you guys got to stay on the show. Hang in there with us because he's got something, a book that he's going to promote to you guys that you are definitely going to want to jump on and get yourself a copy of this. All right. So, Jeff, here's how we started off. I do this with everybody. It's the first time on the show. Talk to us about your journey. Tell us how God has really impacted your story through, you know, really through this walk that you've been on for 30 plus years.
Well, you know, as the title of my book says, you know, the successful life of a total failure. And, you know, I was that kid. My father walked out of the house at the age of four and left my wife with four kids living on welfare on the projects in Dallas. As a matter of fact, the title of the first chapter of my book is Divorce in Dallas. And, but, you know, thankfully my mother was able to get into school and for nursing, became a nurse and got off welfare. And, you know, try to take care of us kids. But, you know, that was basically age four. And a few years after that, my father came back down and he was remarried, and we went and stayed with him for a while. And so as I go through my childhood, though, each time there was sort of maybe a significant event in my childhood, I tried to make a little side note there of how God used that in my life later. Let me give you a couple examples of that. The first time I ever traveled by myself, I was 9 years old. We had moved back to Ohio where I was born, and my dad stuck me on a bus at 9 years old by myself and sent me to Tennessee, to live with my grandmother. So here I was 9 years old traveling across the country on a bus by myself. And, but you know, I say in the book, you know, here I am on my first time traveling by myself and on my first adventure. But little did I know that my life was going to be a life marked by travel and adventure. And so even at 9 years old, I guess I was being prepared for that. And unfortunately, I got hooked on drugs at the age of 11. And then I was on probation from 12 to 18. But, you know, my mother tried to take care of us for a while by herself. And then she got remarried when I was 9 years old. And unfortunately, the man that she married, even though he was a professional, very good at what he did, he had a temper, and I got kicked out onto the street at 12 years old. And another couple side notes there. I remember one night at 12 years old, riding my bicycle down the street at midnight with no place to go. And my side note there is, because I know what it's like to have no place to go, there's no place I'm not willing to go. And I ended up finding myself living in a garage. And one night while I was in that garage, I found a jump rope. And, you know, the thought hit me, well, you know, since, you know, nobody cares about my life, why should I care about my life? So I decided I was going to commit suicide that night. And the house that was near the garage I was staying in had a tall TV antenna next to it. So I climbed that TV antenna, and I tied one end of the rope onto a rung on the tower there and one around my neck. And I was standing there getting ready to jump. But next door, there lived a family. And I knew a couple of the sons, and just, I don't know, even at that stage, I want to say by God's grace, or one of the teenage boys, a friend of mine, looked out the window and saw me, you know, on that TV antenna and ran out. And was like, hey, Jeff, what are you doing? And he talked me down. And, you know, I have to say, how often have I looked back on that day and, you know, realized that, you know, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And that if I would have went through with that, even at that young age, now seeing how my life unfolded, how much I would have missed out on of what God had planned for my life. And so I'm so thankful that there was an intervention, you know, at that young age at 12. And when I was 14, by the time I was 14, I had my own house, and my brother Dave lived there. Well, where do you think all the parties were? You know, at my house. You know, unfortunately, at 15, I knew things at 15 I wish I didn't know now. A lot of things, you know, that I did that I'm not proud of, but that was my life. You know, it's all I knew at that age and stage of my life. But I was living in that house, and so I lived there through my ninth grade year, and then my probation officer found out that I wasn't living with my parents. I forget how he found out, and he confronted my stepfather and said, "Hey, you know, these are juveniles; they can't be living by themselves." And so he forced my stepdad to let us move back in the house. And so my sophomore year, but he had a couple apartments within his house. He had a good size house. And he told me and my brother, you stay here. Don't you come in any other part of the house. And, you know, I don't want to see you. Well, we made it through almost the end of our sophomore year. And, he caught me in my stepbrother's room, which was down the hallway, doing something I shouldn't have been doing. And, you know, we got into a big fight, and he threw me back out on the street, and I ended up with a foster family. I say foster family, but they became illegal guardians. The judge gave them guardianship over me because he was either that or, you know, get sent away somewhere. And so fortunately, my last couple years of high school, I had a good family, even though, you know, I was still doing some things I shouldn't have been doing. Matter of fact, one of the questions people that have only known me since I've been a Christian one of the questions I usually, when somebody's reading my book, they'll text me and they'll say, Jeff, did you really buy your foster mom a marijuana plant for Mother's Day? And I'm like, yeah, that's the way I was. And I had her grow me a marijuana plant in the house. She didn't know what it was. And I'm not proud of that. But, you know, she would be in the kitchen. She would be in the kitchen making dinner, and I would be in the bathroom snorting coke. Again, I'm not proud of that, but that was my life then. One interesting, I was telling you earlier, you know, I tell people if Forrest Gump and Indiana Jones had a kid, that would be me. and this is sort of, I guess, maybe a Forrest Gump story, is at the end of my junior year, I wanted to go to Tennessee to see my family down there, because my father had sent me down there a couple of times. And my foster mom said, well, we can't afford to send you down there. I said, well, then I'll just ride my bicycle down there. Now, here I lived in Sandusky, Ohio, on Lake Erie, and it was almost 600 miles one way. But right after that, my foster mom's father got diagnosed with cancer. And then I found out the World's Fair was in Knoxville that year, 1982. And so I told my foster mom, well, I'm going to ride my bicycle to the World's Fair to raise money for cancer. And I went around and started asking people if they wanted to sponsor me. Well, I didn't even train. The night before I left, I was at a party with my friends, and I'm like, hey, dudes, tomorrow I'm going to get on my bike and ride to the World's Fair. They're like, Stuart, you're a loser. And the next day I got up, I had an old junky, huffy bike, and the only helmet I could find was a hockey helmet. And I put a hockey helmet on my head, jumped on my bike, strapped a sleeping bag to it, and headed down the road. And as I went down there, this is before social media, I started getting publicity. And long story short, the PR people at the World's Fair found out about me, contacted me when I was staying at my uncle's house in Tennessee, and said they wanted to help me. I ended up on stage with the president and chairman of the World's Fair. They gave me a check for cancer. I got pictures of it all. There's a picture of it in my book of me, with my bicycle and my hockey helmet. Everybody thought it had to be fake because I'm standing in short shorts. I got this junky bike. I got a hockey helmet. But they gave me a private guide through the World's Fair, so everybody thought I must be somebody. So people are asking for my autograph and to get their picture taken with me, and I'm an absolute nobody. I'm a street kid. But, then I ended up being on national television in 1982 because of that. Yeah, it's a crazy story. And but then I bicycled home, all the way back home. And one of my motto today, and you can see, go means don't stay. You know, God said go, and go means don't stay. You know, don't live in the what if a life. You know, and a lot. So you know, I've done a lot of what people might consider crazy things in my life, my ministry, and I say that's okay. But who's got the story?
That's right. Amen.
You know, and so God was training me just to, you know, have that spirit of just jumping out there. And so I graduated high school and then I went in the military. But here's the thing, my grandfather was in the ministry. Unfortunately, my parents didn't live for the Lord, but my mother's father was in the ministry. A lot of people have heard of A.W. Yeah. Tozer. He and my grandfather were very good friends. A.W. Tozer said my grandfather was the best Bible teacher he ever heard. They were very good friends. And he wrote me a card, and I still have that card, and it said this. And this is where part of the title of my book comes from. Jeff, you graduated high school. That's to be commended. You're going to be looking for success. But let me tell you what success is. Success is a life lived in the will and purpose of God.
Amen.
Jeff, you can have this life. Well, at that time, I was an 18-year-old drug head. I was like, whatever, Gramps. How much money did you put in the card? But fortunately, you got that, right? Yeah. But fortunately, 4 years later, when I was in the military as an infantry soldier in Germany, somebody invited me to church. I didn't get saved at church, but on a Tuesday night after that, on May 19th, 1987, I say it this way, two guys knocked on my door with the Word of God in their hand and the Spirit of God in their heart. And they asked to come in. I let them in. They opened up the Word of God, and the Word of God opened me up. And the Spirit of God took that truth. And all of a sudden, I'd heard the gospel before, but it was always over here. Yep. But that night, the Holy Spirit took the gospel and put it right there in front of me. And now it wasn't just that Jesus died, but he died for me. It wasn't just that he shed his blood. He shed his blood for me. It wasn't just that he was buried and rose again the third day, but he did it for me personally. And I personally had to put my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and be born again by the grace of God. And that night, I turned from my sin and put my trust in Christ. And so I say this, I don't have a knowledge that was pumped into my head. I have a transformation that took place. in my life through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. You know this, that word power, we get our word dynamite from. Amen. That night, the dynamite of God went off of my soul, and man, my old life exploded. Boy, when the dust settled, there was a new man standing there, created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. And I've never been the same since. And as I was preparing to get out of the military, God called me into the ministry. I got out of the Army January 9th, 1990, a wife, two kids, my wife 4 months pregnant, nothing. Two kids, 4 months pregnant, nothing, January 9th, 1990. But January 10th, got on a plane. January 11th was on the mission field for the first time.
Amen.
You know, people say, Jeff, how could you just jump on a plane and go? I said, well, because I was young and ignorant. Nobody told me there was a gap theory in the New Testament. I read where Jesus walked by and said, follow me. And the next word was straightway or immediately. And I just happened to believe that. I didn't know that, you know, there was a gap theory where Jesus says, follow me. And then you run around for a couple of years and catch up to him later when you get done doing what you want to do. I thought you were supposed to do it right then. So that was 36 years ago that I just jumped on a plane, and I'm still jumping on planes and still watching God work. And so I was a missionary in Bulgaria for years to gypsies, to the Roma. My nickname, you know, you're TS. My nickname's GJ, all right. Gypsy Jeff.
GJ.
That's what my friends call me. GJ. So I guess I'll be GJ on screen. Yeah. So you'll be TS. I'll be GJ. We got it going. And, you know, and so it's just about, you know, when people read the book, I want them to understand, one, it doesn't matter what your background is. Two, there's power in the gospel. And three, you know, no matter what you do in life, you know, there's mountains and valleys. Life's about the mountains and valleys of life. But what do you call a place without mountains and valleys? You call it a plain. Who wants a plain life? Not me. You know, and that we can trust God no matter what comes into our life. And so, you know, of course, the ministry missions is about impacting lives for the cause of Christ. I've lost count of how many people, you know, the villages, being the first one to go into that village and preach the gospel, giving people their first Bible and just watching them weep, you know. And so that's, the book has some of the stories of what, you know, God did. The first village I started a gypsy aroma work in was called Volchi Dol. Volchi Dol. Yeah, I speak Bulgarian. So that Volchi Dol means Valley of the Wolves. So I like telling people the first place I got a flock of gypsy sheep was in the Valley of the Wolves. And so, and what God did there. And then I got kicked out of Bulgaria in 95 when they went communist again for a short time there. And then I went to Germany and pastored a military work. And then when I left Europe, God led me to go into remote areas around the world. The name of my ministry is Others. Others. Now, when it was to the Roma in Europe, it stood for Outreach to Help European Roma Society. Others. Now it stands for Outreach Team Helping Evangelize. Paul said we preach the gospel there. To recruit, said they ordained elders in every church, right? They went in, they evangelized, then they recruited people to go in there. And then S is strengthen. Wherever we go, we want to strengthen people spiritually. And so I've gone into a lot of remote areas. 1 year, went to some unreached pygmies in the jungles of Congo. Traveled 3 days by canoe. 2 more days walking through the jungle, living off crocodiles and monkeys and lizards in the jungle. And then living in grass huts with pygmies and taking them the gospel. And it's an amazing story of what God did there. And then actually the year before that, I got stranded 200 something miles in the jungles of Congo and had to work our way through the jungle for a few days before we met the number one warlord in Congo and negotiated with him to get us the last 100 something miles out of the jungle. So there's some, you know, amazing stories in this book. And, you know, I can't take credit. It's not like I have anything to brag about. It's just situations that God put me in, you know, like that, or going into war zones, and you know, God providing and God, you know, watching over. And I look at, you know, at this stage of my life, and you know, I stand amazed at the grace and mercy and power of God. And I want people to know that, hey, listen, God has a plan of success for them. You know, the greatest thing in the world is, first of all, to know the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ as your personal Savior. The second thing is to know the very will of God for your life and make that the fire that burns in your heart Amen. All the Amen. Days of your life. When I was getting ready to go into the Amazon jungle a few months ago, I was sitting there in the airport and I was thinking, I'll be 62 this year. But, you know, back then I was like, you know, I'm 61. The first time I got on the airplane as a missionary, I was 25. And I remember how fired up I was, how excited I was. And I'm thinking, man, all these years later, as I'm getting ready to get on the plane again, how excited I am and how the fire still burns my heart to continue to go and get the gospel out and do the will of God for my life. And so just like my grandfather said, Jeff, success is a life lived in the will and purpose of God. So basically that's how the book ends, with me sort of writing a note to my grandfather saying, Grandfather, you're right. And I want you to know, up to this point, I've lived a life of success doing the will of God for my life. Because I'm that grandfather now. You know, I've got Amen. 9 grandkids. You know, I've been married 42 years. I got 9 grandkids. And I want my kids to understand from their grandfather, like my grandfather, you know, taught me. You know, I don't want to drop the spiritual mantle, you know, for my family. I want to be able to pass that on and see God continue to do great things in and through my life and in and through the generations of my family. But I want that for everyone. I want everyone to know that. I want everyone to have that. Hey, God loves us all equally. He wants to save us, and he wants to use us mightily Amen. To his glory.
Amen. So Jeff, we believe it or not, man, your story, first of all, I love your story, and you've laid it out there for us. And anybody listening, before I start the wrap up here, you know, you don't need to have some kind of a college degree or have some type of success before you come before God. It does not work that way. You don't have to do that to share your faith with others either. You know, God calls us all to be a part of his family, to be a part of his plan. But all we have to do is come broken and humble before the Lord, and then he will take it from there. Remember this, you don't have to get yourself all perfect before you come before God. You come before God, and then he perfects you in the process. And you guys have heard me say right. that here Amen. On the show. Jeff is telling you exactly the same thing, and his book is stating that very fact. So Jeff, with that in mind, tell us how our audience can get a hold of this book, get in touch with your ministry, all those good things.
Well, right now, you know, my book's only been out a few months. It's on Amazon. And so it's in, you know, paperback, it's in hardcover, it's in Kindle at this point. And, you know, me, I'm just a simple missionary, you know. My comfort zone, whatever that, you know, I say this, as a missionary, I wake up every day thinking somewhere out in the middle of nowhere is a guy in a hut thinking nobody cares. I want to be the guy that find that Amen. Hut and tell him somebody cares. You know, give me a machete, I'll make a pass, somebody else can come pave it, you know. I want to be, you know, first in and reach that person and then help bring people in to continue. I want to know that, you know, but it's not always going across the ocean. I'm glad to go. Sometimes, hey, God just Amen. Wants you to go across the room, go across the street. But wherever you are, it's doing the will of God to impact lives for the cause of Christ, and to let God work in you and through you to bring glory to himself by what you, as you yield to him and allow him to do Amen. And just, you know, be himself through
that's
you.
That's the thing. The guy across the street needs Jesus just as much as the guy that's 2,000 miles from here. Every person needs Jesus. And
right.
we need to be willing to come and follow the path that God has provided for us, and take the Spirit and let it work in us so that we can share the kingdom of God with other people. It's our job to be builders, and we are all commanded to be disciple makers. Matthew chapter 28 is very clear about this Great Commission. Amen. And the Great Commission can start right there in your home. It can start right across the street. It can be the people that live in behind your fence. All places are open to the gospel. All places are open to the gospel.
Right. That's why I say God said go, and go means don't stay. A lot of people say they want to go, but their decisions show they're planning to stay. Go, you know, go means don't stay. You know, I don't, you know, personally, I don't call it the Great Commission. I call it the greatest commission, the greatest commission. What's greater than going out and giving somebody the gospel, teaching them, amen, how to live and have a daily, active, personal relationship with the living God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, controlled and guided and filled by the Holy Spirit of God, according to the precepts and principles of the Word of God.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time. And I just want to thank everybody for joining us today and being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads. Jeff, thank you for joining the show. Loved having you on. Love to have you back sometime. Maybe here in a few months, we bring you back on. And loved your message. Show them the book really quick. And there we go. The Successful Life.
Well, I want to thank you, T.S., for it.
I was just giving them the name of the book.
And I want to thank you for inviting me. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for what you're doing for the Lord and reaching people. And, you know, thank you for just loving our Savior and serving Him. I'm thankful for, you know, anybody that's surrendered their life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's all about the team, you know, and nobody's more important than anybody else. It's just be empty of self and full of Him and realize we need the Lord. And we need each other, and we just need to be team players about moving, you know, the gospel forward to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's in the soul-saving, life-changing, local church-building business.
Well, He does. We're out of time, so as I always say, now go forth in total surrender to the One who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day.